to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
I am Chad Smith, he is Brad Reed, and this is the YONation podcast. It has been 1 week, and the dust has settled on the 2015 Wyoming football recruiting class. So are you ready to talk a little recruiting, Brad?
Of course I'm ready to talk some recruiting. That's what we do around here.
Awesome. So very good. So we have somebody here tonight, Brad, who knows a lot more about this than we do.
It wouldn't take much, so.
Okay, so we are pleased to welcome to the show from the Mountain West Connection. He is the Wyoming football recruiting writer slash enthusiast. Let's give a round of applause to Mr. Ben Mitchum.
Hello. Thank you for letting me come on.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
And you are doing this in front of a live studio audience.
They are, yes. They're very fired up. And so it's been, we've had a kind of a week to digest all of this, so can we just get your initial thoughts, very general thoughts, on this first recruiting class from Bowl, where he had a full cycle to evaluate prospects?
Personally, I think it's definitely a very good recruiting class. You can definitely tell that they got a year under their belt to recruit the whole class, just not in a few week period. So definitely, I would say it definitely covered a lot of the needs that this class needed and this roster needed. So it also, mostly the kids that you see in this class definitely fitted more of the Wyoming profile that Coach Bull likes to call it compared to last year. I mean, not to say last year's class didn't have many of those kids, but it was definitely much more rushed. So we're definitely seeing more of the style of the kids and location that the coaching staff would like to find their kids to fill out their class.
Okay, very good. And we'll talk about that more. That would be my next question, but we forgot. I jumped the gun, and I forgot we said we were going to ask you about how did you get so interested in recruiting and to get to cover this at such a fine level detail, especially like a school like Wyoming?
Well, I guess it's one of those situations. I always have been a big fan of sports, but namely football. Through the years, I've coached some high school and youth football, and I've also grew up in a family full of librarians or teachers. So writing or just dealing with student athletes themselves, I guess I've just always have been kind of a recruiting junkie. On my mother's side of the family as well, many of them live either in the Laramie or Casper area of Wyoming. That's how pretty much I got tied in with the University of Wyoming as a fan, even though I grew up in the central part of Kansas. Definitely Jayhawk and Wildcat country. But nonetheless, the combination between of my interest in Wyoming and recruiting kind of led me to this position I am in now.
Well, very good. We're glad to have you on the show. Do you have any initial questions there, Brad, based on that?
I'm kind of letting you direct this. I'm really excited to hear what Ben has to say about this recruiting class. Like he mentioned earlier, I think Bull did a really good job of bringing in what he likes to call the Wyoming profile athlete. I think the furthest south they went was maybe, Oklahoma. So, you know, they spent a lot of time recruiting the northern states. You know, maybe they're a little more acclimated to the Laramie environment. I'm excited to see what this class does. And we signed our first Parade All-American, so that's pretty exciting, too.
Yep, that's definitely true. Not only a Parade All-American, but a first-team Parade All-American.
And we also managed
more
to steal,
I guess you could say.
And I think we also managed to steal two Gatorade Players of the Year out of this class, too.
Yep, C.J. Johnson there in Nebraska and Andrew Wingard out of Colorado were both the Gatorade Player of the Year for their respective states that Wyoming picked up.
Yes, and we'll definitely talk about them. So let's get to this Wyoming profile now. In his press conference, Coach Bull was kind of vague on this, kind of just saying that, you know, he wanted kids who would come in and compete and want to fight for a job, play tough football, and get a good degree. But was there any more into this Wyoming profile that you know of that kind of went into this whole situation?
Well, I think in many cases the Wyoming profile also fits for kids. Kids who are looking not only for a good education and their education to be first and foremost their main focus, but they want kids where, I guess you could say, the party scene, entertainment, flash, those aren't the kids' number one priorities. They want kids that want to be there in Laramie, who don't mind being in a smaller community where they're there for football and they're there for their education, where kids that don't need a lot of outside distractions to really take over their lives. So which in turn you're going to probably find a lot more kids that fit in the, I guess, the Snow Belt region, the Great Plains, up to the Northwest. I mean, they can pretty much can find them anywhere, but you're going to probably find a lot of kids coming from much more smaller communities in the first place. That definitely is going to fit much more in the Wyoming profile.
It kind of seems like Bull might be following a lot of the same recruiting steps that Mark Branch is with the wrestling team, where, you know, Mark Branch is bringing in a lot of smaller town kids, you know, not from real big cities, but they fit the same Wyoming profile where, and I think I've seen an interview with him before where he said, you know, he wants kids that really don't need the outside distraction to help him get through school. He wants kids that are there to wrestle and be athletes, and I think Craig Bull is certainly well on his way to going down the same path and recruiting similar athletes.
Oh, I definitely agree. I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand with his history coming from the state of Nebraska, which is a huge focal point of the recruiting, not only currently, but especially going forth. But for his focus of growing up there in Nebraska, dealing with the University of Nebraska, then going up to North Dakota State, definitely much more the same profile of the kids. Moving that over down to Laramie, he's just pretty much moves into the Wyoming profile, but it's much the same type of kids that he's been used to recruiting throughout the years, pretty much. Now, I mean, it's pretty much common sense, I guess you would assume in the long run. Not only that, but also Wyoming is definitely a developmental program in the sense that they're not going to be bringing in kids that are going to be finished products. So which in turn, what you get a lot of kids from small towns, they may not have had the overall development that's maybe some kids from bigger schools that have had better facilities to work with in the first place or in competition. But these kids will be the type of kids that they only you bring on the campus there to Laramie that will fit in culturally, but also these kids will be able to be developed into the type of player that Coach Bull and his staff will like to see in the future.
No, oh, yes, that sounds spot on. So, all right, let's get into breaking down maybe some of these players and position group-wise. I want to start with the two most important things in my mind, both the offensive and the defensive line, because that's really important, especially offensively, to the style of football we want to play, running the ball, and the defensive line has kind of been a weakness for Wyoming the past couple years. So offensive line-wise, you know, we have a lot of upperclassmen in the program already, so we only have two offensive linemen. But looking at their film to me, Ben, they look like they really fit the system. You got Caden Jackson, and then the other one is a converted. He played some tight end as well. The kid.
Yep. Zach Wallace.
Yeah, Zach yep. Wallace out of Illinois. And
boy,
that's
a big tight end.
Yeah, so yeah, when I look seven. At their film, they have some good size, which is usually, you know, in the past, Wyoming hasn't gotten kids this big who have good frames. And so they have to put on some weight, but not too much.
Well, in the case like Wallace, I know with the coaching staff, they prefer to have their tackle recruits definitely much more on the taller side with good length. They don't have to be a finished product in, per se, in weight. like in the case with Zach Wallace, who's out of Lake Zurich High School in Illinois. He's 6'7", but currently he's 265 pounds. He definitely has the frame to put on a lot of weight. He's definitely someone you could see well over 300 pounds when he's finally finished in the strength and conditioning program there at Wyoming. And then the case with the other prospect, Caden Jackson, he may be only 6'2", but he's definitely going to be more of an interior prospect, especially probably see him starting out at center. He's 6'2", about 265, 270 range, but he's already has the mentality, which both of these prospects, and you'll see with many of the linemen that Wyoming will be bringing in, definitely have a nasty disposition to them, definitely have a chip on their shoulder, could be real tough, strong players that you just in strength and condition will be developed further. But it's just more in the mold of the type of the mentality and the mindset with the football, the coaches, especially Coach Fuchs and them, will be wanting to bring in.
Oh, definitely. And looking at the film, Caden Jackson looks like a guy who's got some pretty good feet and he could get to the second level. And Wallace as well, being a tight end, obviously has some pretty good feet. So I think that's really going to fit well in the future to have a little bit more of an athletic offensive line that will allow us to get that push and get to that second level and spring some long runs for the running backs.
Most definitely.
All right. Do you have any comments, Brad, on the offensive line?
Feel free to chime in. I think after last year, you know, we had Ryan Cummings come in, you know, kind of as a freshman there, and I think he did very well. So I'll be curious to see if either of these two recruits here can step in a similar way of the way that Cummings did, because, you know, offensive linemen, you know, they are very susceptible to injury sometimes. So, you know, it'd be nice if these guys would play right away if they needed to. They've definitely got some weight to put on, but if we can get, you know, some first-year production out of them if we need them to, that would be terrific to have that kind of success that Cummings did.
I would definitely probably jump in there and say the difference between Cummings and these two, Cummings definitely was more physically, I mean, what was pretty much, what, 295, close to 300 pounds,
yes,
entering the campus and everything. Definitely these two guys, which you made the point earlier, where Wyoming is already filled with a pretty upperclassman control, I mean, upperclassman-led offensive line in the first place. So they're probably not needing some of these kids to come in and step and play meanly. So definitely Bull also is a big believer in redshirting as many players as possible, unless it's at a position that definitely needs dire attention immediately. In the case of Cummings last year, he was physically ready to play, but then, of course, with the injuries and transfers, I hit the offensive line to start the year. Definitely Cummings got his chance to play pretty early into his career.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Ben. I would expect both of these guys to redshirt, but again, you never know.
Yeah, Jackson would probably be the one between the two that would have a better chance to see action earlier, if I were to guess. Wallace definitely has a lot of room to grow before he plays along the offensive line, unless he want to have some spot duty at an emergency as a blocking tight end, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's flip on over to the defensive line now. We brought in a junior college transfer from the City College of San Francisco. And yep. I'll let you tackle his name because I forget already. It's a tricky one.
I believe it's Tafada Fayu.
Mm-hmm.
The last name, I at least have a better idea. It's Fayu, pretty much. I believe it's Tafada or something like that. It looks like Tavita, but it's like Tafada or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely
a tricky name.
Okay, here we go.
Good luck, Dave Walsh.
Here we go. I got the pronunciation from the official Wyoming guide. It says it's Tavita.
So it is Tavita.
Tavita?
Somebody else was trying to...
Yeah. Tavita Fayu.
Yeah. The last name will actually be very easy to remember.
Fayu.
You'll be known as Fayu, pretty much, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see with him? Now, obviously, most of the time when you bring in a junior college transfer... the coach is probably expecting that they could come in right away and make an impact, at least on the two deep.
Yes, he's definitely physically. He may not be quite the ideal size at this moment, pretty much standing around about 6'3", 245 pounds. But with him coming in, I don't remember if he's a mid-year guy or he'll be coming in during I guess he wouldn't be a mid-year guy. He'd be coming in during the summertime. But nonetheless, we'll get him bulked up a little more, try to get him up over 250 pounds, pretty much roughly where Yarbrough and Sony was playing this past season. But what he's going to bring, Bobby's going to be bringing this coming fall, is somebody that can definitely push for a starting position. He'll bring definitely ability to rush the quarterback. He had 16.5 sacks this past season as a sophomore, along with 52 tackles and 5 fumble recoveries. So he's definitely a very active defensive end, which the staff definitely needed to bring in the first place.
Correct. And the rest of the defensive line recruits look like they are all pretty much developmental players. And you got Skylar Clinton. A guy who I'm really excited about is this, what's his dang name on here? I had it written down.
Uanna. It actually looks like Uanna, but it's Uanna.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not him. I'm more excited about Granderson.
Granderson? Oh, yep. But he's 6'6", 185 pounds.
Yeah, but he's definitely a redshirt guy.
Yes, he's definitely a redshirt guy. Coming out of Grant High School there in California. Granderson, of course, now you would assume being 6'6", 185 pounds. Maybe he looks like the fit more of an outside linebacker, but the coaching staff has the intent for him to be a defensive end. He definitely is a very athletic, rangy defensive end prospect. He had he finished the season with a whopping 172 tackles.
Holy
34
boy.
Tackles for loss and 15 sacks.
That's ridiculous.
To go along with 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
So he, and not only on top of that, he actually returned a kick for kickoff back for a touchdown as well this season.
No big deal. Sack the quarterback, run one back, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much one of those guys you could pretty much play him all over different positions. But he's going to be very interesting to watch here in a few years after being in the strength and conditioning program. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Neil Smith when he played for the University of Nebraska. I believe they got him out of Florida. Neil Smith was 6'6", but Neil Smith weighed, they said, no more than about 190, 195 pounds when he entered Nebraska, left Nebraska weighing well over 275 pounds. So it would be kind of cool. I don't know if Granderson will definitely get that big, but it'll be interesting to see in time how much muscle and weight they'll be able to put onto his frame. Because athleticism-wise, length-wise, playing ability-wise, he definitely brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, if he could even get to 230, 240 when it's all said and done, you would think he'd be a pretty good threat off the edge.
He'll be basically unrecognizable after 2 years in the program. He'll just have gotten so big. And really, he's not even that big. He's going to be like 240 or 250 pounds. But right now, he's just like what I can only imagine is a like really skinny basketball player.
Yeah, he's a toothpick for sure.
He looks like a wide receiver.
Well, looking at his stats, he'd be a great Ed McCaffrey type of receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of scary to think that he's going to be BMT's end. Kind of going on the same line of thought with Nebraska, they're All-American defensive end, and Randy Gregory, he pretty much is standing only about 240 pounds, but he's a very athletic defensive end. So that's the hope, is that Granderson can turn into that type of player in time.
All right, now let's move inside here to the lone defensive tackle in the class, and you were just talking about him, the kid out of Nebraska. Uanna?
Uanna, I believe. Uanna.
Uanna. Mm-hmm.
It could be Uanna as well. Uanna Guyson. I think it pronounced as Guyson, his last name. We're definitely going to have to learn these last names.
Okay, here we go. I got it. It's Uanna Guyson.
Guyson.
There you go.
Guyson. Guyson.
I don't think they paid They don't pay Dave Walsh enough to say this.
Yeah, Dave Walsh has got a lot of Polynesian and African names to learn here.
Definitely a change of pace for him, definitely.
You know, when they signed... Go ahead.
I said Gouffon is definitely somebody that's going to be a very interesting prospect to watch. He already is very physically developed. I'm sure he's already spent a fair amount of time in the weight room, but he just seems like the one of the type of kids that's just naturally strong in the first place. He's another kid that definitely put up some pretty eye-opening stats this past season. They're at Grand Island Central Catholic High School. Trying to get here real quick to see some of the stats that he put up. For this year, he had 81.5 tackles, including 73 solo tackles. So pretty much at that level of football that he was playing there in Nebraska, he pretty much was owning the defensive line. He had 81.5 tackles, 73 solo tackles. Then on offense as a tight end, he caught 45 passes for 782 yards and 6 touchdowns as a tight end. So he's definitely a very good athlete. Definitely somebody that, with a 6'4", 255-pound frame, he's already very physically developed now, but he's someone I'm sure the staff will probably try to get to at least about 285, 290 pounds. You can only imagine the type of terror that he's going to cause the Mountain West once he completely develops and brings his game along under the staff, because he's still pretty much a pretty raw prospect as a whole.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. So that's the defensive line. Let's move on to the skill position players, and there's many of them on the list, but who do you think, who catches your eye, I guess, in this class, in the skill position areas? We're talking wide receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs.
Well, I guess you could start off first with the wide receivers. In the first class of under Coach Bull, didn't bring in any wide receivers. This year brought in 5 wide receivers. I would say there's at least 2 of them that could see the field right away this coming fall, and probably C.J. Johnson out of Bellevue West, and they're in Nebraska. And then the other one would most likely definitely would be, let me see here, who I had as probably as Justice Murphy. Both Murphy and Johnson were considered arguably the top wide receivers in their respective states. Definitely in the case of C.J. Johnson, kind of like we'll lead here in a moment talking about the running back Kellen Overstreet, C.J. Johnson was a big, huge record-setting wide receiver in Nebraska. This past season, he caught 63 passes for 1,214 yards and 22 touchdowns, while also adding 1 kickoff and punt return for a touchdown. He had a career total in yards of 3,548 yards receiving, which was a state record for all classifications in Nebraska. He also owns the Class A records in receptions and receiving touchdowns. So he's definitely somebody that has shown a lot of production, and you would expect him for this coming season to pretty much show what he did this past season there in Nebraska for the Cowboys, I guess I should say. And then I guess with Murphy is somebody that was very heavily recruited by many Pac-12 schools. Of course, he was committed to Utah at one point. Many people considered him the top wide receiver in all of Washington, and he'll bring somebody much like Johnson, a kind of a taller, lanky, very athletic, playmaking type of wide receiver that can definitely see the field very early for Wyoming.
But he doesn't have an awesome name like D'Amico Doddles.
No, Doddles is definitely somebody that could possibly see the field early, but he's also somebody that I guess the staff once originally to start off with at wide receiver, but you could definitely see him in time maybe as a safety as well. Was one of the top 30 plant prospects in the state of Oklahoma this past season.
Wasn't there a wide receiver in this class that they recruited that they think could be a punt kick returner like right away?
Well, could be punt kicker, kick returner right away. I mean, it could possibly be someone along the lines, like the receiver they got out of Illinois, and trying to get here real quick, the Kevin Jackson at Nazareth Academy there in Illinois. He was another player that's about 6 foot three, 185 pounds, but you're probably more so talking about Davion Freeman out of Oklahoma. He could play wide receiver as kind of a slot receiver, but it looks like the staff is looking at him more as a cornerback. He's out of Dell City High School in Oklahoma. He's probably the one that's going to be more suited to be the return guy, especially on the punt return. Very dynamic, quick, shifty type of athlete.
He looks little and slippery.
Yes, he definitely does. Talking about slippery, one of the prospects that will be visiting this coming weekend for Junior Days is actually C.J. Johnson's brother, Cade. If you ever watch any of his film, he's definitely a very slippery, jitterbug-type wide receiver prospect. Kind of surprised me. I mean, C.J. got all the pub, and then there was another teammate that was a senior that had pretty good numbers, but it kind of surprised me that Cade actually had a very productive year himself. He kind of reminds me of that jitterbug type receiver. So he's somebody to look forward to paying attention for this coming 2016 class.
Yeah, did they say his star rating was right now?
For Cade?
Yeah.
I don't think he's necessarily been rated yet by any of the public sites, but I would guess in the long run, pretty much, he could end up being like a three-star prospect like his brother. I would say probably more than likely may likely be the top receiver prospect in the state of Nebraska this coming season.
And, you know, I think it made a lot of sense that Bull chased a lot of wide receivers in this class just because we lost a lot of firepower right there. I mean, we can knock Christensen all day long for his shortcomings, but one thing he didn't slack on was recruiting quality wide receivers. Unfortunately, they all kind of graduated the same year, so I think I think Bull made a pretty good move here, chasing a bunch of receivers to get us some depth built up.
Well, I think it was one of those situations with last year with the short recruiting time that the staff had when they first got the job. I don't think the coaching staff really wanted to dive in and just start grabbing receivers just for bodies. The roster still was very heavy wide receivers with upperclassmen. Still got a couple of two or three receivers returning of significant playing time for this coming season. But I think the staff decided that they were going to hold off for one more year, not reach for any prospects last year on the short recruiting season, concentrate and find some major playmakers. Because a lot of these receivers as a whole are actually pretty, as we saw with their numbers, but also their accolades, pretty highly regarded wide receivers. And I'm sure the whole ability of playing early with the playing time definitely was a major selling point for these receivers.
Yeah, and that, you know, I don't think these receivers are certainly going to be as prolific as they were in like a Christensen-style offense, but I think, you know, they'll get a fair share of catches. They're not going to be, you know, standouts by any means, leading the Mountain West in receiving yards. But I think they're, you know, as long as they're team players, everybody's going to get a share of catches and have some success.
Definitely agree there.
All right, let's move to the lone running back in the class, and he is probably the most highly decorated Wyoming recruit in this class and maybe ever, the only Parade All-American to come to Wyoming. And if you look at that Parade All-American list, you'll notice that he is the only commit who did not go to a Power 5 school or Notre Dame, I do believe.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
so what, to say the least.
Yeah, so give us the lowdown on Kellen Overstreet.
Well, Kellen Overstreet is a 5'11", 200-pound running back at Penny High School from Hamilton, Missouri. It's a small town. There's only about 1,700 people in his community. So the level of the competition that he was playing against was not the strongest, to say the least. But it was more the case with Overstreet. He's the type of kid that was a man amongst boys. He probably would put up very huge numbers, even the big classifications there in Missouri. Because he actually does. I mean, he's not a speed burner, but he's probably still a legit upper 4'5" guy. He's 5'11", 200 pounds now, but he still definitely has a lot of room to even get bigger. He's the type of back, you could see him 215, 220-something pounds when all said and done. but he's one of those type of runners that he's tough to get down. He has good balance. He runs hard. He has pretty good jump cut ability and everything along those lines. You could tell he has definitely a lot of room still to grow as a player, which is scary with the numbers that he put up this past, multiple years. I mean, for the career numbers that Overstreet put up were pretty mind-boggling, to say the least. Like an example, he rushed for 4,259 yards and 70 scores, touchdowns this past season.
No big deal. No big deal.
No big deal at all, yeah. Which was the state record for the single season rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, and total touchdowns. As a junior, he averaged 9.2 yards per carry, scored 53 more touchdowns, considering he scored 70 this year. He owns the career state records for rushing touchdowns, total touchdowns, all-purpose yards, points accounted for, and he's also, I believe, on the 70 touchdowns this year, that was one touchdown shy of the national record for touchdowns in a season. And the 4,259 yards is up there in the top five all the time for most yards in a season. So, yeah, he's definitely putting up Madden-type numbers.
I half expect you to say that he also rescued five babies from burning buildings, too.
It definitely sounds like his type of character, that he's supposed to be a really good kid and everything. Would not surprise me whatsoever if he would pull that feat off as well.
But he'd have ran him out of the building, though, for another 1,000 yards.
Yep.
So, my brain is not even processing these numbers. He ran for over 4,000 yards as a senior. That's even Colt Brennan is jealous of those yards. So,
yeah, that,
what kind of offense did they run to allow this kind of insanity?
Well, it was definitely a run heavy offense. I mean, a lot of times they had generally two, even three backs in the backfield. I don't think they rarely ever threw the football. But
didn't need
his
to.
Team as a whole definitely dominant. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, they were pretty much men against boys, against most of the opponents that they played. And it just wasn't him, but a lot of the other teammates on his team, they were definitely much more physically developed across the line and the backfield over a majority of their opponents that they're playing.
Yeah, looking at the film, they were running some type of wing T system to where they had...
Yeah, it's like more of a wing T. Yeah, definitely more of a wing T.
But it was some weird formations. It was kind of like it almost looked like it should have been a wishbone where they... But they would look like usually they'd have two fullbacks and him back there in a line behind the quarterback, and they were just mowing people over with an offensive line to where... There was a lot of times in the highlight film where Overstreet wasn't even touched. He would just run 60, 70 yards for a touchdown, so...
That's definitely going to be a big thing for when he gets to the next level. I mean, regardless of which college level he was going to be playing at, there are going to be many situations where, like in high school, where he went untouched. I mean, he got to the outside, he got through a big, huge hole you could pretty much drive a Mack truck through, and it pretty much didn't matter. Those aren't going to happen there at the next level. It's one of those little bits and pieces during the highlights where you see him breaking tackles or stiff-arming a kid or running through tackles. Those are the things you pretty much have to look at. Yes, there was a lot of his highlights where there was not a lot you could take away from other than he was bigger, stronger, and faster than everybody he was going against, pretty much you could say.
All right,
yeah, that's just amazing. He'll be a lot of fun to keep an eye on over the next few years, just to see, you know, if he can have even, you know, just a fraction of that success that he had as a senior in high school.
Well, most definitely. I mean, he's going to have also you're going to be talking about a kid that's going to have the mindset that he's going to expect to put up good numbers. He knows that he's going to be a bigger, higher level of football, but he's still going to have a lot of expectations for himself and amongst the coaching staff to produce. I mean, he's going to be a definitely kid that's going to have a chip on his shoulder. But there was a lot of people that doubted his abilities, even though he put up those huge numbers, since he came such from a small school. A lot of people, you know, I mean, it's just human nature to doubt the competition that he's going against, but he's still a very talented back. So, yeah, it will be very interesting to see what type of production he puts up there in his career here at Wyoming.
You got to think that, you know, transitioning from Sean Wick to Brian Hill to Kellen Overstreet, you think that that's probably going to be pretty good to watch over the next few years too.
Yep. I mean, considering the production that Coach Bull had with his running backs at North Dakota State, it always seemed like whenever one graduated, there was always one ready to get stepped in that already had good production anyways, then with other running backs waiting their turn if an underclassman. It was just it was a never-ending cycle of great running backs. I mean, that goes back to his days as an assistant coach at the University of Nebraska, even though he was on the defensive side of the ball. Nebraska always had running backs. North Dakota State always had running backs. And it's looking like already now at Wyoming, one thing you know that Wyoming's going to have is a whole bunch of good running backs.
Yeah, all right, definitely agree.
Okay, let's move on to the lone quarterback in this class, and that would be junior college transfer Josh Allen, also out of a JUCO in California. Now, looking at his film, he looks like a guy who could fit this offense quite well. He can make all the throws, and he's pretty mobile for a guy his size.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'5", about 210 pounds, out of Redley Community College in California. He led Redley Community College in both passing and rushing yards as a freshman. He passed for 2,055 yards, 26 touchdowns, and he had only five interceptions in 10 games. He rushed for 660 yards on 120 carries, which was an average of 5.5 yards per carry, and scored 10 more rushing touchdowns to go with 26 passing touchdowns. His 26 touchdown passes ranked 7th amongst all California junior college quarterbacks, which is pretty impressive when you consider how many JUCOs are out there in California. So he's definitely somebody that has a strong arm. He's a prototype what Coach Vegan and Coach Bull is looking for from the quarterbacks. They definitely like their quarterback 6'3" and taller. They may take an exception. The kid's 6'2", kind of like they did last year with Aaron Young. If the kid holds many other traits that they like, they will maybe possibly take a 6'2 quarterback. But they prefer quarterback 6'3", especially 6'4", 6'5", range. So Allen definitely stands a chance for challenging for the starting spot this coming season. And you may have to correct me. I get it confusing with all the Kaufman brothers that have come through the years. It's Cameron Kaufman that's at Wyoming now?
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. I was about to say Carson, his brother, that played at Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to take the assumption that Cameron Kaufman will stand a very good chance after redshirting this year, after transferring from the University of Indiana as the starter. Allen will definitely push him. Young will push him. Still have Thornton on roster with another year of development. And then, of course, you have the two high school signees from last year, and Fort and off the top of my head, the kid out of Merritt Island in Florida, with Smith. Both Fort and Smith, they could definitely possibly show something after a redshirt year. But Allen definitely stands a good shot. My assumption early is I would like to see what Smith brings to the table, but Kaufman and Allen definitely are two of the quarterbacks you would have to look at early challenging for the starting position next season. Allen comes from a college that runs a pro-style offense, so he's already pretty well used to the system, which he's here at midterm, much like what Young was last year. The one nice part about Allen is if he did not get the starting position, quarterback position this coming fall, he still has a redshirt year left. So it's not like the Wyoming staff has to throw him in the fire if he's not ready, which is kind of a nice thing to have in the long run.
Yes, it's going to be an absolutely fascinating spring football with so many players in that quarterback room with a pretty much an open competition up for grabs.
Yes, it's definitely going to be an open competition, much like last year, even though Kirknard pretty much took over the position relatively early. This fall, we definitely have more bodies, more able bodies, considering you got all these guys that are in the system that have already been in the Wyoming system of the pro-style offense. It'll definitely be much more of a competition for that starting quarterback spot.
All right, let's move back to the defense and finish up the last positions there with the linebackers and the DBs. One thing that kind of jumps out at me is Coach Bull, and you've mentioned this before, using his Nebraska experience, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to get more speed. They're doing what Miami did famously in the late 80s and the early 90s, and then Nebraska started doing it, and that's how they got into the title push with such an athletic defense, is recruiting high school defensive backs, making them linebackers. You recruit high school linebackers, you make them defensive linemen, and then you improve your overall team speed, and that's what Wyoming's done here with some of these linebackers.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you look at an example like Kevin Prosser, who was the first verbal for this for the 2015 class. Prosser's about 6'2", 205, was kind of a safety linebacker hybrid there at Overland High School there in Colorado. Definitely, he's going to be bulked up, but he's a very good athlete, 4'5 guy. Then you have Harry Momo. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yep, Momo.
Yeah. Not the tallest guy in the world, 5'11". Well, once again, about 200 pounds. Momo is somebody that has a very good speed at 12 and a half sacks on the season. So it's somebody that can definitely get around in the backfield pretty quickly. And then, of course, you have Irving. Let me get to what is the first name off the top of my head. I have to get his first name.
Christian.
For Irving. What's that?
Christian Irving,
yes. He's one that comes from Florida, from American Heritage, is one of those big powerhouses down in Florida. Christian Irving is another kid that runs like a legit 4.5 340. So like Prosser, these are kids that are a legit 4.5 guys. So they have a lot of speed to burn. I mean, many years in the past, Wyoming would be lucky to have maybe their safeties running legit 4.5 40s. These kids all sit around about 200 pounds now, probably about 5'11", 6 foot, like in Prosser's case, he's 6'2". But they definitely have plenty of room to grow and get bigger, get them up at least into 220, 225 pounds, kind of like you were talking about earlier about Nebraska, back in their glory days of their national championships, like the Farley kid. He had to be no more bigger than 215 pounds.
Yeah, Terrell Farley was...
Girl for, yep.
Small.
Yep. But these guys can definitely cover from the outside linebacker position, from either the Sam or Will positions. They can cover out there in space. They're have enough instincts and tenacity to get the support against a run. One of the big things you have to remember, like very early in the season, that Coach Bull made the point that it was way too easy. You found out that so many of our opponents were running like jet sweeps or other outside developing plays. And it was just so easy for those opponents, their offenses, to get to the outside and around our guys. And that's when he realized real quickly that he definitely needed to upgrade the speed on the defense. And kind of like you brought up the point where you take somebody that's a safety, you move him to linebacker. You take a corner, you move him to safety. You take a linebacker type guy, use an example, Skylar Clinton out of Prescott, Arizona. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. He's going to be a guy that's going to be interesting to watch, another 4'5", 40 guy, that he could play outside linebacker, or in time, you could even move him down to the defensive end, depending how big he got. But he's, once again, you're moving guys who are very good athletes, have a certain type of skill set and frame, and you can move them down in time after a strength and conditioning program, and you got speed across the board, which is going to be very important under Coach Bowles and Coach Daniard's Tampa 2 defense.
All right, I do want to ask you, a very intriguing prospect to me is the Colorado Player of the Year out of Arvada, Colorado, Andrew Wingard. He's just an athletic beast, this guy is. And we were talking earlier about kick returns. This guy had 1,300 kickoff yard return yards and returns and 320 in punt returns. So he's a guy who might be able to step in right away on special teams.
Yep. I mean, he also had over 1,600 yards in rushing and 28 touchdowns. So he's a definite playmaker. Like in the case right here, he's looked like most likely probably as a safety. So it's in the past, Wingard is the type of person with his athletic ability you would assume maybe be a cornerback. But in Wyoming now, with the direction that Bowles is moving the defense and the roster in general, he's a safety. So he's definitely going to be a very playmaking safety. Definitely back there in coverage, but somebody you could also probably see up there helping run support, getting quick on like safety blitzes and stuff like that. Then you, on top of it, kind of like Devon Freeman, Wingard is the same thing. Definitely people that you could see, players that you could see there on special teams as a return guy. Like I talked about Freeman being a smaller stat back type ability, probably more of a punt returner. Wingard is somebody that you could definitely probably see more so as a kick returner, has a little more size to him. So it'll be very interesting to see. That may be a situation where he may play early. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Wingard is already on campus, or is that Parker?
That'd be Parker.
That's Parker. But that may help Parker in the long run being there early. But Wingard's the type of player that pretty early in his career that could see time in special teams as one that returned, guys, namely especially kickoff return, if I would have to guess.
Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that it sure is going to beat the fair catch days that we've had the last 2 years.
That will be a very nice sight to see that kind of go away. Definitely make more plays. Kind of goes back to hand-to-hand with Coach Bull's philosophy, where a field position, which we did a very good job at the very beginning of the season, where we were having good field position, and even if the offense was not performing up to the best of its ability, still got ourselves in scoring opportunities, also made the opponents have to go much further down the field to score without short fields, which that kind of changed as the season went on. But one of the big things that will fix that, it will be special teams. Punting, kickoff coverage, return game. If we can be on the plus side on the field position from our special teams, that will be huge. And, yes, fair catching the ball definitely doesn't help win on the field position game, to say the least.
Never has.
Nope.
All right. I guess just two more guys in this back seven that I want to talk about here. Or not the back seven, I guess the back five. Or back six, however you want to call it, depending on your formation, sorry. Is these two Wyoming kids, both from Casper out of Natrona County High School. What can you tell us about them? I guess my only concern is that they weren't really recruited by any other Division I schools. So what does Bowles see in these two guys? I mean, it's good to have Wyoming kids on your team. I believe you should do that. But do you think these guys are stretch
picks? In two different ways. I see Logan Wilson as the type of prospect that could be into like a future mold like Pronsky and those guys. Wilson is, he has the size. Mm-hmm. He is a very good athlete.
Okay.
Not only is he somebody that was a very good wide receiver and a very good safety, he could be possibly somebody in time, even move up to become a linebacker. I mean, Wilson was actually a very good special teams player himself. Very mm-hmm. good kicker, very good punter. But I think what you're going to see with Wilson is I think he's actually turned into be somebody as a strong safety down the road. Yeah, you know, I kind of always felt like he's probably most likely would be considered the second best prospect in the state of Wyoming behind Bartlett. Okay. Even though I think next year's recruiting class, Theo Dawson up there from Jackson Hole, could have had an argument to be the second best player in the state. But Wilson, I thought he was somebody that very early in last year's recruiting class to get an offer. It wasn't until the very end. But, yeah, I was a little surprised that he didn't get other offers from the outside, maybe like a Colorado State or Utah State or somebody along those lines. Harshman on the other case, Josh Harshman, he's a definitely guy, I guess, that the coaching staff probably took a flyer on. He's definitely somebody that has pretty good athletic ability. I mean, not extreme athlete, but he has good height, about 200 pounds right now. He's somebody that's going to be interesting to watch down the road once his body fills out, how much he can be able to contribute as a possible starter down the road. But he could be definitely somebody that you could see as a big special teams performer for the Cowboys down the road. Oh, I guess another name that we kind of got talking about cornerbacks, along with Devon Freeman, them is Antonio Noodles Hole out of California. Mm-hmm. He's definitely another guy that's about 5'10", 185 pound out of Diamond Bar, California. He's another one of those explosive, real quick twitch, really good hips type athletes that could play multiple different positions. It looks like the staff is going to be playing him as a corner. So, yeah, the Nets are a very good athlete with a lot of speed.
Okay, wow. I think we've mentioned pretty much everybody by name except for one guy, and that would be Jalen Watson out of Broken Bow, Oklahoma, who's projected to be a linebacker.
Well, I guess there would be another name, kind of those wide receivers. Well, I brought up C.J. Johnson and Justice Murphy. We brought up Doodles and stuff. There's also James Price, yet another wide receiver out of the state of Washington, just like Justice Murphy.
No,
Price
you're right,
is a
yes.
kid. Both him and Murphy came from the same league there in Washington. Price didn't get quite the pub that Murphy did, but he's still about pretty much around the similar size, about 6'2", 180 pounds. Price is a kid that is a very good student. He picked the University of Wyoming over Columbia. So there was other schools involved, but he picked over Columbia. Extremely good student. But one of the big reasons why he selected Wyoming was because he wanted to major in petroleum engineering, which, of course, worked pretty good major there at Wyoming. And what was
right.
the other? What's that?
We do all right.
Yep, do all right, Matt. Yep. But, so what was the other prospect that we were bringing up?
Jalen Watson.
Jalen Watson. Is Jalen Watson is one of those guys that'll be playing as a linebacker. Some schools are looking at him as a running back, big back, which with the fit of the running backs that Wyoming wants, a little more generally, even though like Kellen Overstreet is 5'11", staff prefers about 6 foot, running back over 200 pounds. So Watson would have fit that mold, but it looks like the staff is bringing him in as a linebacker. He's definitely a kid that's a, yet again, a very good athlete. Big, strong, probably I would probably assume will probably play more in the middle as a middle linebacker after a little more development. Already about 225 pounds, heading for 230. Coach Mike Bass did an excellent job in the state of Oklahoma this past year. So I believe we signed 4 guys from the state of Oklahoma. Actually had a 5th commitment for a while before he backed out and went to North New Mexico. But nonetheless, that was a state that proved to be very nice for the Cowboys this recruiting season. Watson, Jackson, Doodles, and Freeman. Yes, they're there's plenty of talent down there in that Oklahoma City, Tulsa area, to say most definitely.
Yeah, no doubt. And Wyoming's had some success in the past recruiting the state of Oklahoma, so that's a good place to get to.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I know this kind of jumping to another subject, but I would assume that we'll still be recruiting the Northwest pretty hard. But I was looking ahead for the 2016 class, you're going to see a lot of focus there in the front range, Wyoming, Colorado, most definitely. But Oklahoma, Nebraska are going to be very, very heavily hit. I know the staff is working hard and trying to make inroads into Kansas. It's a state that was sorely neglected by some of the prior staffs. There's been some very good Cowboys that came out of the state of Kansas, but it's been a state that's been neglected by the staffs as of recent, and it's going to take a little while for some of the kids in Kansas to get their heads around to Wyoming. But once they get going in there, they'll make it much easier, like Nebraska, Oklahoma. You'll probably see much more emphasis even up in Minnesota and Wisconsin this coming recruiting class, even more so than this year. So you can definitely tell that the coaching staff is starting to narrow down where they like to see a lot of the prospects coming from. I mean, of course, California always is going to be a state that this coaching staff will mind.
Yep, no, that was a good segue to look to next year already, because we had things pretty much wrapped up, and I know that is it this weekend they're hosting a Junior Day event. Is that correct?
That is correct. Looks like there's going to be a lot of prospects from Nebraska. I'm sure there'll be a lot of prospects from Colorado and Wyoming and other surrounding states, but publicly, there looks to be some really good prospects in the state of Nebraska that will be visiting this coming weekend.
All right. Well, so very good. So, all right, before we get out of here, Ben, tell the folks again where they can track you down and read your work.
Of course, first and foremost, you'll find me all over Twitter. I mean, kind of we were joking earlier, I'm kind of like a recruiting stalker as a whole. I don't say that in a bad way, but I'm definitely always looking out for the prospects that Wyoming may be looking at for recruiting. But you can find me at mountainwest.com. I guess mountainwestconnections.com. I'm the Wyoming recruiting writer for that website. So that's where most likely where you can find me. On Twitter is under Ben Mitchum. That also have a link there to the website. So that's most likely the easiest way to find me.
All right. Very good. And, yeah, so we'll have to do this more often so we could update people throughout the year.
Great.
What things are going on, and hopefully this summer will be busy and Bowl could start landing people early, because I think he's shown the ability to do that, I think, now that he's in place.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I definitely agree with that, especially if there's going to be more of a focus with these states kind of bordering Wyoming, kind of there in the Great Plains region, especially. I think you could definitely probably see some more prospects committing earlier to the Cowboys than what we're normally used to seeing, only because the relationship and the effort that Wyoming will be putting into these kids, while a lot of the other schools, even in the region, will be neglecting these kids because either they come from areas that aren't that heavily hitted by D1 schools, or their schools or kids that the bigger P5 type programs put off in the back burner until later in the recruiting process. But if Wyoming can do a good job of making these kids targets and feel that they're wanted, I could see a lot of them committing relatively pretty early to Wyoming.
All right, very good. So we look forward to that. So thank you for joining us, Ben.
And thank you for having me on.
And we hope that everybody enjoyed all that information that was provided. So any last words, Brad?
That was a lot of information at one time. That was really good, Ben. Thanks for coming on and hanging with us. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, we will get you back on later on, because this is very, very good information for people, and people love recruiting information. So
yeah, there's a lot of recruiting junkies out there.
Or I forgot to say it's recruiting information.
Recruiting, that's right. Steve Spurrier style.
All right, folks. So for Brad Reed and Ben, I'm Chad Smith. This has been the Wild Nation Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.